Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Let's move to Acts chapter 1. And I already had that marked, so when you guys are there, say amen. All right, so we are going to look at... So I guess I'll just preface it so that I don't have to, you know, rehash everything that, you know, is going on here. So Jesus told the disciples that don't depart from Jerusalem because they're going to have, you know, the Holy Spirit will come. And so you need to wait here. And so that's what they did. And so let's jump down to verse 14. And it says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And then let's skip down to chapter 2, verse 1. So by all accounts, I don't know that it actually says it specifically, but I think they were there about 10 days from the time that they gathered until when the day of Pentecost came. That's what I've read. It's about 10 days. So can you imagine having a prayer meeting, church service for 10 days? Like they were committed to this. So chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And we're just going to stop right there. I'm going to talk about not neglecting to come to the house of God and not neglecting to participate in the corporate anointing. Yeah. Amen. So, Dustin, thank you for introducing that into the message. So, I'm going to look at verse 14. They were there with one accord, devoting themselves to prayer and it says everyone who was there. So what does one accord mean? So it actually means united in togetherness as one or one mind. And so there's something, and when they were there, and they had to wait for a little bit, being together in one accord, but they were there praying together, you know, worshiping, and then power came. There is something powerful about when a group of people come for one purpose to worship the Lord, to pray, to learn about Him. There is something powerful that comes that you can't get on your own. Right. Amen. Right. The Bible says it constantly calls the church a body, but yet we are all members. Right? So we each have our own different tasks, different thing that we need to do, but we all need to come still together and work together as a body. And that's where we come in together as a church. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this is fairly clear. And this is, it's kind of crazy if you think about it, in that I don't know how long from when, you know, Jesus rose from the dead and, you know, ascended to when this was written. But that's not very long. I mean, obviously it's within someone, you know, a lifetime here. And they're already neglecting to come to church and gather together. Like, how sad is that? And I mean, I know we are thousands of years past that, but we still have this, and it still holds true. Just as when it was written as when we're reading it. And now, I do understand I am preaching to the choir. Y'all are here on a Wednesday night. So I understand this. Well, we'll just say this is for the live stream people, you know. There's just, live stream is great. Don't want to, you know, diss the people that are, you know, that aren't able to make it and are utilizing live stream, but it's not the same. When we were, you know, quarantined and it, you know, we only had Pastor and Jill was here and a few other people, you know, were allowed in the congregation, I was at home. And let me tell you, it's hard to say, you know, like, amen, you know, to agree, to, you know, to sing, to worship when you got your lonely voice echoing in the room. It's hard. It is very hard to do. And you can't replace being together with all the other believers. There's just no replacement for it. It's not, and there is something that we can glean from this message, all of us who are here and are here pretty much every service. What is our attitude when we're coming here? And I'm the one who needs to hear this just as much as anybody else. But it's not just that we sing a couple songs and then take up the offering and we sing another song and then pastor comes up and preach. We might pray for a couple people and then we leave and we go have lunch or we go home and go to bed. It's more than that. This is where God speaks to us. This is where we minister to God. We worship God. This is where he talks to us. And this is where we encourage one another. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. So, I mean, hello, we are in the very, very, very last of the last days. And so we should not be, this should be our big priority on Sundays and on Wednesdays. This is where we need to be. And no, you know, I understand work, things like that come up, but if you can make it, make it. You know? In Matthew, Jesus talks about where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. Can you imagine? Like, Jesus' presence is here where we're all gathered. He is inhabiting in Psalms it says he's enthroned on the praises of his people, or he inhabits the praises. So can you imagine, like, yes, we can worship on our own, and he is there. I've had some amazing times of just worship just by myself when I have, you know, like I play worship music. But can you imagine, so if he's enthroned on the praises of one person, can you imagine when we get a whole room full of people who are praising? He is crazy in the midst of that. I don't know if that makes sense. But he is all, like, he's all over that. And that's when the glory can come in. Amen? And we've had some great times of just praise and worship where it's almost tangible that you just feel the weight of his glory. And I love this. Jerry Savelle, I don't know where he got it, but he has a definition for glory. It is the manifested presence, power, and goodness of God. It's the manifested presence, the power and the goodness. And Pastor talked about that recently, about how the goodness is kind of, if you read in Exodus, it's kind of used in exchange with the glory, the goodness and the glory. When Moses said, show me your glory, God said, I'll pass by you and show you all my goodness. And Moses couldn't even see all of that. Like, there was no way he could contain all of the goodness of God. And the thing is, no one has seen the fullness of his glory. No one has seen it. But the thing is, he just keeps on getting better and better. And the more we press in and the more we gather together, the more and more we're going to step into that. Amen? And sorry, I'm a little out of breath. Pregnancy kind of takes it from you. there is, and I wanted to just make sure to pinpoint, there is an individual anointing, and that is imperative for what you're doing in your walk. But there's also that corporate anointing that when you bring your anointing, your personal anointing here, and it combines with everyone, and we're all worshiping, we're all listening to the man or woman of God who's up here speaking, it brings the power. Amen. So really quickly, I wanted to go through a couple of points on why is it important to come and gather, besides the fact that God said to come. Okay. Other than that, so first off, God can speak to you and direct you,
yeah,
right? Through preaching a word of knowledge, the entire service is full of God moving, God speaking. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you are in the house that God has put you in.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of whether or not, like, oh, well, I don't really like the praise and worship team. They don't have very many people, and they don't do my songs that I like. If God's called you here, then sorry. You just need to just jump in and just enjoy it. You're praising God. It doesn't matter what the team looks like or what they sound like. You're here to worship God. And as long as they're doing scriptural songs, jump in. Amen. And it helps the man and woman of God who's up here. It helps when you are here. The seats are full and you are engaging and saying, you know, in agreement, amen, or, you know, just have a pleasant look on your face. I mean, it really does help. Let's go to 2 Chronicles really quickly. And we'll look at chapter 20. And we've all kind of remember the story of Jehoshaphat. But I kind of want to focus on what happens before he puts out the singers and they defeat the army. So we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 20, and we're going to look at verse 4. So basically, Jehoshaphat, there's a great army coming against Jehoshaphat. And so, verse 4, and Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, and all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly, and I'm not going to read through his prayer, but we're going to jump to verse 13. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then we'll jump down to verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. And let's skip down to 18. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites they stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. So, in this instance, gathering together, it was kind of like a corporate prayer. Even though they had one person praying, Jehoshaphat was the one praying, they all came with for one purpose, one accord. And they got their answer. That's where God told them, the battle's not yours. And then Jehoshaphat knew, like, okay, we don't have to fight in this. We're going to do this, this, and this. If they hadn't have gathered together to pray and seek God, would he have known to do this, or would they have gone out and fight? And would this even be in the Bible? Amen? So that's just so important to corporate prayer. When we're all gathered together and we're praying, if pastor's up here saying, okay, guys, we're going to pray for X, Y, and Z, we all need to be praying just as if this was something that you needed. This was your miracle. You need to be praying just as hard for someone else's miracle as if this was for your miracle. Amen. So first, God speaks to you directly, or can direct you, and through problems of your life. And it might not be through the spoken word. It could just be something that comes to you while we're praising, while we're praying. God can show, give you direction. So that it's important in that aspect. Then signs, wonders, and miracles come from this. The power, the glory comes from gathering together. In Isaiah, it says, the anointing destroys the yoke, destroys it. Doesn't just break it to where, like Humpty Dumpty, you can try to, you know, put the pieces back together again. But destroying means like actually destroy. There's no chance whatsoever that whatever was holding you back can be put back together. It's destroyed. Amen. Amen. And so being here gets you those, if you're needing a miracle, being here is very important for that. Amen. Amen. Not to say that you can't get it through your own prayer, through your own faith, but being in the house of God, that might be where God has your miracle come from. Amen. All, was that me? All through Acts, you can read, just, I encourage you to just read the book of Acts. There's signs and wonders that follow them everywhere. I mean, chains are breaking. Peter is in prison, and you have the church praying for Peter while he's in prison. And then an angel comes, his chains fall off, and he goes to where they're praying, and they don't believe that he actually is there. But that corporate prayer, intercessory prayer, for someone who's not even necessarily there, it works, and that is what you need that corporate anointing to break some of these things off. Amen. And then if you look through Acts, people are saved as a result of the power of the anointing and the glory here in church. You know, there's a lot of times where I'm like, okay, we've got some guests here. Maybe, you know, like your first thought is, okay, let's have a calm service, like where, you know, there's not like, you know, a ton of stuff going on, scare them off. But God knows what they need to see. You know, God knows that these people might need to see the power. And that might be showing them that, hey, they have something that the world doesn't have. Amen. And so it is so important that everyone draws on the anointing when we're here. It's important to come. But then when we're here, we can't just be a seat filler. Amen. We have to actually engage in the worship and engage in the message, engage in the prayer, in all aspects. This is what God said to do. Amen. So then really quickly, I have four things of what, if you ask the question, what can I do specifically? So number one, and this goes right along with Dustin's message, stay on fire. So read your Bible, pray, spend time worshiping in his presence on your own. Amen. So have your personal life devoted to God, not just when you come on Sundays or Wednesdays, but throughout the week. Make sure you're making time. You have to keep your personal anointing cultivated. Amen. Not only because you have a calling outside of the church, you have a calling to reach the lost, you have a calling, you might have, you know, something else, not necessarily, maybe not a ministry, but you might have something God wants you to do. That is what your personal anointing is for. And so you have to make sure that you are cultivating that primarily first and making time for God. And then coming, obviously. But someone said this, let me see if I can find the quote. Personal prayer and worship time is not the same as corporate prayer and worship. They are both needed, but one cannot replace the other. So I know a lot of people who are in, there's two camps. One who's like, oh, I come to church on Sunday and Wednesday. And if you ask them throughout the week, where's your Bible? They're going to be like, maybe by the door where I put it when I came in from church. There's those type of people who go on about their lives between Sunday and Wednesday. And so they don't think they think they're fine. And they, until some bad stuff hits. And then, you know, then they go scrambling. But then there's the other camp of, I have my Bible. I have my own personal, you know, I pray and I sing to God on my own. I don't need to go to church. I don't, and a lot of these people have been burned by churches before. A lot of times they hop around. First, I worked at a Christian bookstore, so I heard a lot of stories of why people don't go to church and think that they don't need church. And usually it starts with the church hopping, and then they find out that, well, just no church is, you know, they're all hypocrites, and so I'm just going to stay at home. And let me tell you, you're not the best thing since sliced bread either. So, you know, you're not everyone's cup of tea, just like, you know, these people might not be your cup of tea, but that's where you seek God and find, but usually those people aren't really mature enough to seek God. They just want to be pleased in the natural. And so you got those two camps, but you can't have, you have to be in the middle. You have to have both. You have to have a balance, right? You can't neglect coming to the house, but you also can't neglect your own time of prayer and worship and seeking God about what he wants to do and just fellowshipping with God. You can't replace that. Amen? And once again, that's why it's so important to be in the church that God has planted you in and not just like, oh, okay, well, they don't have this ministry or they don't do this or they sing modern songs. They don't sing hymns. Or, oh my gosh, they sung a hymn. What is going on? You know, because you get those two camps. If God has planted you here, you need to be here because that's where you're going to get your impartation. That's where God is going. God has a man or woman of God in your, to be over you, not just whoever you decide to like this week. God has someone over you who will be speaking into your life, who he has to speak into your life. And that's why it's so important to be in the place and actually show up to the place where God has planted you. Amen?
Amen.
So number two, number one was stay on fire. Number two, be ready and expecting when you come to church. So this is for all of us who are here every week. Be expecting for the Spirit to move. Be expecting to get something. Don't come just because I have to do my due diligence and show up and show my face. I mean, sometimes it's hard because when you have a job every week that you do, it's hard to get not to get into that thing, okay, well, I'm going to church, I'm going to play on the team and, you know, sing, but because I have to be here. You know, it's you can get in that mindset of this is where we go on Sundays and Wednesdays, but yet I'm not like spiritually ready to receive from God. And I have to watch myself on that. So be ready for the Spirit to move in praise and worship with the preaching, the man or woman of God who's up here. Be expecting to get something from them. And then in the prayer time, like when I know we don't always do an altar call of, you know, if someone needs prayer. But like I said before, if someone comes up, you need to be praying for their, whatever they need, even if you don't know what it is, but you need to be praying for them just like it was you up there. Amen. There's something with corporate prayer that gets things done, that gets the power. And so we need to be helping in that. We, you know, we don't need to just be sitting there like, okay, well, if Pastor closes in the next 10 minutes, then I can get to, you know, the restaurant down the way and maybe get a table really quickly. Like, we shouldn't be letting our thoughts run because, I mean, we know the devil's going to put those thoughts in your head and it's going to try to distract you because he doesn't want those prayers to get answered. He doesn't want the anointing to flow. So, of course, he's going to be planting all of these thoughts into our heads to try to get us from praying and from focusing and from being in one accord and all focusing on the one thing that we're here for. Amen? Number three, show reverence for the presence. So And I'm just going to focus on, like, in praise and worship, follow the lead of the leader, the praise and worship leader. If you don't know what to do, like, okay, so we're, you know, we're praising God and you're like, I don't know, you know, like you, maybe you don't, maybe not, maybe God's not impressing on you to run or jump. Take a look at what the team is doing. Take a look at what pastor's doing and just jump in on it. Like, even if you don't feel like if they're getting all excited and shouting and you're like, oh, I don't really feel like doing that, just do it.
Yeah.
And you might find that something breaks off of you, because if you jump in into that anointing, because God is moving, we have great leaders who are very sensitive to the Spirit. And so if the Spirit is leading them in a certain direction, you follow them. And if you've never shouted before in the service, do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to be really quick. But there was, when Jill and I were, I think it was college, or maybe right out of college that I was. So I was young. And not that I'm old now. But we went to a conference. I've told this story before, but we went to a conference. And they're known for praise and worship, I guess, would be, and their teaching as well, but we were there mainly for the praise and worship. And they had a 24-hour prayer room. So they had, like, it was open 24 hours, and they had bands that would, like, they had music playing the entire, live music playing for 24 hours. So they would swap out their, you know, instruments one by one and then swap out their leaders. And so we were, I think we had just come out of one of the teaching conferences, or maybe we had just eaten lunch. And so we were sitting outside the prayer room, like on the floor, and just kind of talking and, you know, trying to decide, well, it's the middle of the conference, you know, there's speakers in the middle of talking. We don't really want to go in. So we were just trying to figure out what we're going to do. And with the prayer room, typically the music is mellow, you know, we're like, they're singing and praising or worshiping the Lord, but it's more of just worship and low-key music. And so we were just talking, and all of a sudden we hear like a thump, and then we hear like shouting, and we're like, what's going on? Because it's coming from the prayer room. And so we were like, well, I mean, we're just sitting out here. Let's go in. And so we went in, and I don't know what sparked it, but they started singing something about like freedom, no more shackles, no more chains. And people were like getting delivered. People were jumping and shouting and running. And we were like, oh, this is cool. But I mean, like we were just coming in the middle of it. And so we were just like, well, let's jump in. And so we did. We just jumped right in. And because the songs were, you know, about redemption and God is, you know, God coming through for you. And so we just jumped in. And I'm telling you, like, I don't know about Jill, but that just, the act of, like, I didn't feel like God said that you need to jump and you need to dance. I just did it. And I honestly feel like something broke off of me that day in my worship, where I was just like, you know what? Like, I don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care, you know, if I'm getting excited because of what God's done for me, or, you know, of what God can do. I'm just gonna jump. I'm gonna dance. I'm gonna do whatever. And because I took that first step of just jumping in, because that's what the leaders were doing. That's where the anointing was flowing. Even though I didn't necessarily feel it, I saw this is where the anointing is going. So we just jumped in. And that was like, I mean, I remember that to this day, that my worship changed, my praise changed. And I really want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten out of your comfort zone, just jump in and do it. And nobody really cares what you do. And actually, you might spark someone else to jump out of their comfort zone and do something. You know, and that's where chains, things break off. That's where things happen. And that's where the glory can come in, when we're all focused on the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
So follow the leaders. Just jump in and be sensitive to the Spirit. Amen. So if you feel like nobody else is jumping, but yet, like, you know, it's, you know, like you, you know, it could be that you got healed. You know, pastors talked about someone in a service he was in where all of a sudden they started, you know, jumping and shouting, and they're like, oh, I don't know why they're doing that. And come to find out, they were healed of some, of an affliction they'd had for a long time. And so it could be that some you get a miracle. Jump, shout, amen. And then if someone's jumping and shouting, jump right in with them, amen. Okay, so number four, be obedient to the Spirit, which I kind of talked about that. So when he says move, you move. So like if he says jump, you jump. You know, he might not be an audible thing, but it might just be something like your feet just like, oh my gosh, I just need to jump. You got just jump. Amen. Amen. And when in doubt, follow the pastor's lead. Follow the leader's lead. Right. Amen. And I mean, there's been many times where it's been like a reverence. Amen. And there's been time like it's scriptural for you to get on your knees and worship. It's scriptural for you to get on your face and worship. Amen. So don't think that we're limited to just raising our hands. Amen. Or clapping. Like we have, like look through the scripture and see how people worship. And that's, you know, that is our guide. Amen. So those were the four things I'm going to say real quickly. Stay on fire. Be ready and expecting when you come. Show reverence for the presence and be obedient to the Spirit. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.